Chronicles chapter 16. Our theme for the year is Seek the Lord, and it is taken right out of the passage that we're going to read from today. In fact, it's found several times in the Bible, and over the next several weeks, we're going to look at not only what that means, but what that means for us, and what that means for us as a church, and in the context of Scripture, all the different places that God uses that phrase to help His people. And I want to be an encouragement to you today. I had prayed, actually, I was not supposed to preach this morning. I was feeling very, very ill, and had our guys get ready for this morning and tonight, and didn't have much of a voice at all this week, and just prayed and asked God, Lord, if you want me to preach, then I need to have a little bit more of a voice, and certainly I know that you've given me a message. And then last night, I told Brother Dave he was going to preach this morning, and last night I just felt burdened that God wanted me to preach this morning, and that He wanted me to preach tonight as well, and so I'm thankful to be able to do so. And I thought, well, if people can go to work sick, so can I. And you still want to shake my hand afterward, but I've disinfected several times today, my hands, and so you're in safe company, and hopefully, I don't think anything left is contagious. This is just the residual of 40 degrees and wind blowing and things like that, and a bunch of crying. When I met my in-laws, the Kirk family, I found out that they're criers too. And so we had a good crying time together sitting at the dinner table. And first I was crying because somebody ordered broccoli at the table. And it just made the whole end of the table stink to high heaven. And I thought, great day. You just met me 15 minutes ago. You're trying to offend me already? you know what makes you cry? Happiness makes you cry sometimes. I mean, you hear a good salvation testimony, find out how they got saved and how they got called to the ministry. And just all the blessings of God just makes you cry. And so we got in the wedding, and I determined I'm not going to cry like I did at Ashley's wedding. And then it was my turn to pray. And I said, Lord Jesus. And I just started boo-hooing. What got me was not that Austin was getting married. I'm thankful that he's getting out of the house. But what got me was watching Braden stand up there as a ring bearer. And he just started going. He started crying. I was like, I leaned over to my wife. Look, he's crying. And then Preston. Now, Preston will lie. And he will say, I wasn't crying. But he was standing up there going. That's how Preston cries. Because he doesn't want to see anybody else cry. And I tell you, we were just a bunch of criers. Brother Kirk was crying. I was crying. Hannah was crying. Austin was crying. And I thought weddings were supposed to be a happy day. Everybody standing around crying. But it was a good day. And I'm thankful we got to witness that. It's a blessing to have the Bible. And it's a blessing to know that God loved us enough, not only to give us His Son to die so that we could have forgiveness and so that we could have a life lived for Him, but it's a blessing to know that He loved and cared for us so much that He left His book to tell us all that we need to know about life and about godliness. And one of the things that I believe that God wants from our church this year is a deeper, greater, far-reaching relationship with Him. And I want to talk about that this morning and what it means to seek the Lord and how we can seek Him in an effective manner. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, if you'll stand with me, please, for the reading of God's will, of God's word. The Bible says in verse 1, so they brought the ark of God and set it in the midst of the tent that David had pitched for it. And they offered burnt sacrifices and peace offerings before God. And when David had made an end of offering the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. And he dealt to every one of Israel, both man and woman, to every one a loaf of bread and a good piece of flesh and a flagon of wine. And he appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord and to record and to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel, Asaph the chief, and next to him Zechariah and Jeiel and Shemiramoth and Jehiel and Mattathiah and Eliab and Benai and Obed-Edom. That's a name that you should be familiar with. And Jeiel with psalteries and with harps, but Asaph made a sound with cymbals. Benaiah also and Jehaziel the priest with trumpets continually before the ark of the covenant of God. Then on that day, David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you again. In the next few minutes, I pray that you'd empower me. And I pray that you'd use me for your glory. I thank you, God, for these verses and what they've meant to me, Lord, in recent days and in this last year. And I pray, God, that today that you'd use me for your glory. And I understand that, Lord, today I'm a bit broken and my voice is not quite what it has been. And yet I trust that this is your will for me to stand here and preach. I pray that you'd help me not to be a distraction, but to get out of the way. And I pray, God, for everyone here that you'd give your people understanding this morning. Lord, I pray that as we hear from you, that you would help us then to have wisdom to rightly take the truth and apply it to our life. And I pray, God, that today we would determine as Christians to seek the Lord, that we would seek your face continually, that we'd seek your strength, that we would rejoice because we're seeking you. And I pray that you'd be glorified. Bless our time now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. There are a lot of people who are seeking a much happier new year than this last one. Many people will seek a new lifestyle. Some will seek a new diet plan, all part of making a better life for themselves. Some will seek for more money. Some this year will seek for a bigger house. Some perhaps for a better job. Anything, I suppose, that will bring happiness or fulfillment to themselves. It's interesting to me that in our text, David is moved by the Lord to write this psalm of praise to God out of a heart that is not trying to better himself, but rather from a heart that was trying to serve the Lord. David had moved the Ark of the Covenant to a resting place in Jerusalem, and even at that point wanted to build a temple for the Ark of God in honor of God, wanting to serve him more perfectly. His heart was not for himself. His heart was for the Lord. Now, I want you to think about that. His heart was not for himself. His heart was for the Lord. His heart was to serve the Lord. His life was not lived for personal gain or glory, but rather for the gain and the glory of God. Let me ask you this morning, what will your life be lived for in 2019? What is the major goal behind all of the resolutions that you've made, perhaps even already? Our theme for the year is one of effort. It is one of spiritual discipline. And I believe that it is one that, if accomplished, will be the most rewarding. You see, the word here in your in verses 10 and 11, to seek the Lord, the word to seek means to resort to. It means to inquire of. It means to consult for. It means to study. It means to follow or seek with care. It means to make full pursuit. Now here, David has found a resting place for the presence of God in the Ark of the Covenant. As he does so, he writes under the inspiration of God, Psalm 105, and he pens these words to the people of God, and this is how he blesses them, by admonishing them to seek the Lord. He's telling them what has already taken place in his heart, and that is, as I follow Christ, it's okay to follow me. As I seek the Lord, as I've tried to seek this place for the resting place of God's ark, as I've tried to do this, I want you to try to do the same. Over the next several weeks, we're going to explore all of what it means to seek the Lord. But this morning, I want us to recognize some key attitudes in seeking the Lord. There are several ways that I can seek the Lord, and I want to encourage you to do that this morning. First of all, I think we should seek the Lord gladly. Seek the Lord gladly. Notice what the Bible says in verse 10. Glory ye in his holy name. Notice this. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord gladly. Let me ask you a question. Do you rejoice in the fact that you can come before the Lord, or is it a chore to you? You see, I gladly do some things, and I don't gladly do some other things. I don't necessarily gladly empty the trash. I never gladly pick weeds. I don't gladly pick up after the dog. But I want to gladly be able to seek the Lord. Did everybody understand that this morning? Now see, for some people, seeking the Lord is a chore. Some people pursuing God is a chore. Some people asking for God's will is a chore, and they don't do it gladly. So if they don't do it gladly, they probably don't do it at all. The Bible says, let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. I believe we ought to seek the Lord gladly, and I believe we ought to rejoice in the fact that he's invited us to seek him. Come ye, all that are weary and heavy laden. Jesus Christ over and over invites, and God over and over invites, and the Holy One of heaven invites us to come, and yet we're not cheerfully seeking after him. We don't gladly come before him. He's taken an interest in us. He saved us. Should we not take an interest in him? Should we not gladly seek the Lord? I want to rejoice in his immutability. I really want to do that. I want to rejoice with the fact that my God is the unchangeable God of heaven. I want to rejoice with the fact that he is ever faithful. I want to rejoice in his intercession for me. I want to rejoice in his provision for me in every category. I want to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Amen. To seek the Lord rightfully, scripturally, David is saying, seek him gladly, come before his presence with singing. Over and over, we find this theme in the Bible. If I'm going to have a happy new year, I must rejoice in the Lord. But not just rejoice in the Lord, rejoice in seeking the Lord. Listen, even if it is in trial. Even if it's in a tragedy. See, we gladly love the blessings. We gladly entertain the blessings. We have no problem gladly coming to church when all the bills are paid, when everybody's healthy. We gladly have no problem singing praises that way. But what about when the hounds of hell are at the back door? What about when the skies are all dark? Oh, my goodness. Somebody said in Tennessee, when I got there, they said, where are you from? I said, California. They said, well, we want to apologize for the weather, but if you stick around long enough, it's probably going to change tomorrow. That's just the way it is. One day, it's sunny. The next day, it's 40 degrees and windy and cold. And the next day, it'll be raining and it'll be a tornado. And the next day, it'll be, and it's just something different every single day. Well, listen, the fact of the matter is, that's kind of like the Christian life. You kind of open your eyes long enough, you live long enough, you realize not every day is the same. But our God's the same. Amen. So I can gladly come to the Lord. I can gladly seek the Lord. I can rejoice in seeking the Lord. And I will rejoice, if I read my Bible correctly, if I do seek the Lord. I believe we need to seek the Lord gladly. Secondly, I believe we need to seek the Lord dependently. Dependently. Now, what do I mean? 2019 will be a much better year if I'm not trying to do all things without Christ, but instead do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You get the idea? You know, there are a lot of people who are trying to live the Christian life without him. I'll say that again. I'll give my own amens this morning. It's okay. I got enough voice for that. There's a lot of people trying to live the Christian life without Christ. Amen. Rather than trying to live it through him or by him. There's a lot of people that try to serve Christ without Christ, and they quit. There's a lot of people trying to give without Christ. There's a lot of people trying to have a happy home and make a happy family without Christ, and they quit. And what happens? Your strength fails. Do you know why I need to seek God dependently? Because his strength never fails. His strength is the same. Whenever you can, and in all you do, let me encourage you to seek the Lord's strength. In whatever you do, whenever you can, wherever you can, seek the Lord's strength. Have you asked him to help you? Have you asked for his strength? Have you asked for his grace? Have you asked him to strengthen you to do what you know you're failing to do on your own? Because God's grace is sufficient. God's strength is sufficient. When I fail, he doesn't fail. Amen. My failure then is not God's or Christ's fault. It is my failure not to seek the Lord dependently. Oh, the Bible says here, glory in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Notice this, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek the Lord and his strength. Whether it's in obtaining the strength you need for your job, seek the Lord in his strength. Or the strength that you need for your family, seek the Lord in his strength. Seek the Lord's strength. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. The Bible says, they shall mount up with wings as eagles, they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. But you've got to seek the Lord. I've got to seek his strength. A lot of people come before the Lord like kids that are ding-dong doorbell ditching. They come and they knock and then they run away. They don't actually want to wait to see what the Lord says. They're not waiting for the strength. They're not taking time to seek the Lord for the Lord's sake. They're not seeking His strength. Let me ask you a question. Does your life depend on the strength of God? Does it really depend on the strength of God? I'm talking about when you get up in the morning, you don't want to get up. I'm talking about when you go to work, your mindset to please God. Do you depend on that strength? Because if I'm going to seek the Lord, I've got to seek Him as if I need it. God, I need your strength. People who've been married for longer than 10 or 15 years, in today's culture, that's an oddity. You stay married for 20, 30 years, people would say, young people would say, how did you do it? How could you possibly successfully do that? Because everything else in the world says that marriage is just another one of those temporary feelings, nothing more than feelings, that love is a fleeting moment. No, no, no. Love's a covenant. It's a covenant. It's a service. It's a sacrifice. It's a privilege. And God says, look, how in the world can you possibly even stay happily married, much less married, without my strength? You can't teach that Awana class without God's strength. If you're trying, you're going to quit. You can't teach that Sunday school class. You can't serve in the nursery. God knows you can't serve in the nursery without God's strength. You won't serve the Lord for very long if it's in your strength. Somebody say amen right there. Because there's plenty of people sitting in this room that have tried it just like I have in their flesh and failed. Well, we've tried. Isn't it time to say we've tried long enough? Isn't it time to say, I don't want the same 2018 to supersede 2019. I want it to be a little different. I don't want to wear out. I don't want my faith to stop. I want to be strong in the Lord. I want to have that joy again. I want to have that freedom and the liberty that only God gives. But He only gives it if you seek it. Seek and ye shall, help me, find. Knock and it'll be open. Ask and it'll be given. The fact of the matter is, do you seek the Lord as if your life depended on it? Do you seek His strength? God, I so need you. You just read the Psalms like some of us have. Read the Psalms and you see the desperation that brings dependence from a man who's walking in the valley of the shadow of death. It takes a man that seeks the Lord to say, though I walk through that valley, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. What's David saying? He's saying, He's my source. He's where I go to. I'm not going to make it in this life without it. Therefore, Paul said, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. What did Paul find? The same thing David found. He found a strong God and he sought Him. Well, I think we can learn from this text to seek the Lord gladly. Secondly, to seek the Lord dependently. Thirdly, let me encourage you to seek the Lord hopefully. Hopefully. Now, it goes without saying, I think it's coupled right there dependently, but I wanted to take a New Testament passage and I wanted to bring it into light. Will you turn to Hebrews chapter 11? As you seek the Lord hopefully, what does that mean? Well, you know, like when you're waiting for that bonus check to come in the mail for Christmas and you're hoping and hoping and hoping it comes, that anticipation. Or you're waiting to hear whether you got the promotion and there's that anticipation every phone call. Or you're waiting to hear if someone made it out of surgery, that anticipation that's there. Do you seek the Lord that way? Hopefully. As you seek the Lord, seek Him with anticipation for what He promises to be and for what He promises that He will do. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now, God's going to define how he pleased God right here. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. Watch this. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that what? Diligently seek him. Hopefully. When you pray, are you praying with anticipation for God's will to be done? When you ask, when you seek the Lord, are you seeking Him hopefully? What is it that you want? Are you anticipating that He'll give it to you? Probably not if you're living outside of his will. Probably not if you're harboring sin. Probably not if you're not walking with God. Enoch, the Bible says, walked with God. Or you could say it this way. He made it a habit of seeking the Lord, and that pleased God. God rewarded him. Say, how did he reward him? He went to heaven. Any questions? How do you see that's a reward? Have you ever read the context of his life and the society that he lived in? Oh, that was a graduation day. That was the greatest of all blessings. By the way, if you're a born-again child of God, you're going to be greatly blessed one day when you stand in the presence of Jesus. You will have no more hindrance. You will have no more sin blinding your eyes. You'll have no more pride. You'll have no more selfishness to keep you from seeing the purity of Christ. You'll be standing in his presence. Better yet, we'll be falling on our face, saying, God, you're so gracious. I don't deserve to be here, but I'm so thankful to be here. I just want to praise you. You'll have no problem seeking him then, friend. Seeking him hopefully. Then God elaborates on what was so pleasing to him. That people would hope. That people would believe in who he is. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11 in verse 6, but without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. That he is what? Fill in the blank. That he's enough. That he's worthy. That he's trustworthy. That he's kind. You believe that? You believe that God's good? Do you believe he's good all the time? Do you believe that he's just? Do you believe that he's holy? Do you believe that he knows better what he's doing than you and I do? Because that's what pleased him. Enoch was looking around at the society, and all he saw was people doing only that which is evil continually. That's the life that that's the society he lived in. And yet, what did Enoch decide to do? God, I know that I really don't want to be alive with all these people, but I trust that you know what you're doing. I believe that who you are is enough. I believe that what you've called me to do is enough. So God, I'm going to walk with you. I don't know what Enoch's job was. I don't know what he did for a living. All I know is, aside from what he did for a living, he walked with God. And God was enough. And that not only did he believe in who he was, but that he would continually come to him diligently. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. Again, the Bible says, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Do you understand that a theme like this is not a seek the Lord on January 1st or January 6th? Do you understand that? Do you understand that that command to seek the Lord there is in the imperative? It's I'm going to, not only do must I do this in order to be right with the Lord and to have the Lord's blessing, but I'm going to continually need to do this. Because why? Sufficient for the day is the evil thereof. Tomorrow, if the Lord gives you breath, you're going to need to seek him again. Amen. If God gives you breath the next day, if God gives you breath in May, you're going to need to seek him. What about between now and then? You better seek him every single day. For what? For strength. For help. In trusting in all that he is. Trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Enoch didn't need all those verses to have to trust in the Lord. He already did with what he had. And he had nothing but God himself. Now, that is saying that I believe in who he is and that he is enough without the word of God. Praise the Lord, we have it. And yet for some of us, it's still not enough. For some of us, the written word of God that God obligates himself to is still not enough for us to trust him. Am I right? The fact of the matter is we struggle with faith every single day. And yet God says, listen, I want you to trust me. I didn't write the Bible so that you would question me. I wrote the Bible to prove that there were people whom I provided for, whom I protected, whom I walked with, because they did trust me. And I want to do that for you. Did you know what God wants to do with you today? He wants to walk with you. He does. Tomorrow when you get up, he'll want to walk with you. When you go to work, he'll want to walk with you. And only you can keep him from doing that. Seeking the Lord gladly, seeking the Lord dependently, seeking the Lord hopefully. Let me give you another one, then I'm done. I think it's pretty obvious here in verse 11 The Bible says we need to seek the Lord continually. Look at verse 11. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face continually. In Psalm 105, it says, seek the Lord forevermore. Continually. Not just one time. One of the worst things I ever did in junior high was to try out for the track team. I used to be quick. I thought I was fast. And then I started running with these other guys that were faster. I was pretty fast, or at least I thought I was faster than I really was. And the coach was working with me, and so he put me out for the 40-yard dash, and so I started running. And I wasn't lightning, but I was fast for a white guy, and was running down there. And then he said, okay, well, you run 40, let's run the 50. And so I ran the 50, and he was pretty pleased with how I was keeping up with the pack. And then he even tried me at the 4x100. He said, let's try you with a 100-yard dash. And what I found out was that I was great and fast until I was about at the 80-yard mark. And if any of you have ever tried to run 100 yards and you're a sprinter, about 6 or 70 yards, your legs are going, what are you doing? About 80 yards, your body's going, no, it's time for a Gatorade break, dude. I don't want to go any farther. At 100 yards, you're supposed to run through the line. You stop actually at 95 and you coast through the line because you don't want to be there, at least when you're a short sprinter like I was. I found out I was only good to about the 80-yard mark, and then the only thing I was fast at was fading. I faded really quickly. I didn't have the strength to keep going. I faded quickly. You know, as Christians, sometimes we jump into a new year, new goals, new hopes, new aspirations, even perhaps some new spiritual goals for the year, with a robust sense of determination. And like an animal attacking a carcass, we just go at it. And our stride at that point is awesome, seemingly like when we get saved. It's just one of those quick things. I want to have all of God that I can. I want to do all that I possibly can, and we jump at it. But if we're not continually seeking the Lord, guess what happens? We begin to fade. And we stop at the greatest potential. Do you realize the greatest potential in you has nothing to do with you? The greatest potential within you has everything to do with God. His presence, his Holy Spirit, that power that is left untapped every single day awaits for a continual tapping, for a continual strength. If we don't continually seek him, we begin to fade. Everything in our lives as children of God depends on our willingness then and our diligence to seek the Lord. Will you turn in your Bibles briefly to Philippians chapter 3? Everything in our lives as children of God depends on our willingness and our diligence to seek the Lord. And I believe in the Bible there is one preeminent, aside from Christ, example of someone who sought the Lord, who pursued the Lord, who consulted with the Lord, who resorted to the Lord, who was constantly dependent upon the Lord. His name is the Apostle Paul. And in Philippians chapter 3, in verse 13, we find Paul's heart in this matter of continually in pursuit of God. The Bible says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting with those things which are behind. Look up here just for a minute. 2018 is gone. You can't get it back. Everything you've done right is over. Everything you've done wrong is over. It's gone. The question is not what you did in 2018. Now the question is, what are you going to do in 2019? What are you going to do differently? What are you going to do better? What are you going to do hopefully? What are you going to do diligently? Because there's no doubt in my mind, many of us started out this last year in the first 90 days seeking the Lord. But how many of us actually sought the Lord on December 31st? How many sought the Lord continually, forgetting those things which are behind? Notice, follow along as I read, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Can we read verse 14 out loud? Ready? Begin. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Does that sound to you like a guy that stopped? No. In fact, he continued to the day that his head fell off at Nero's feet. He sought the Lord continually. Oh, and what happened to Paul? Well, he lost his life. Yeah, but he saw a whole bunch of people saved. Were it not for the Apostle Paul, we would not be sitting in this church this morning. The fact of the matter is, he did exactly as God ordered him to do. As 2019 is kicked off, let me challenge you to seek the Lord. In the next several weeks, I just want to continually go to different passages and challenge you to seek the Lord. And I want to encourage you every day with every devotion that you get about revival, that you would seek the Lord. That you would not seek the Lord for any other reason but for the Lord's sake. That you would seek the Lord, then secondly, for your sake. That you would seek Him gladly. That you wouldn't find it a chore, but that you would see it, man, this is a time for me to rejoice. I get to come before you and remember all of your mercies and remember your grace and remember how much you've blessed me and count those blessings and then go to Him dependently. Say, God, I'm seeking you for strength today. Today's going to be a hard day. I have to do X, Y, and Z. Today's going to be a difficult day, Lord. And by the way, here's what we tend to do. You know what we tend to do? When we tend to be on vacation, when we tend to have a day that's a little more lightly scheduled, we don't think that we need God's strength anymore. We just don't. I mean, if we've got some big meeting, if we've got some big trial, or if we've got some big appointment, if we've got to go to cancer, and we've got to get treatment, yes, we need God's strength then. But what about when we don't have all those things? When we're just laying around the house, let me just remind you, it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. Look, the devil will walk by your back door every single day, even if it's shut, just waiting for the day that it's open just a little bit. That's why I've got to seek the Lord continually. I must continually seek the Lord. I've got to seek Him. Seek the Lord at home. Seek Him at work. But let me also challenge you to seek His face every time you come here. That you would understand that we don't gather here so that some guy could stand up here and thump you over the head or step on your feet with the Bible. Instead, we come here to seek the Lord. Why was it so important for David to house the presence of God? To give people a focal point. To give them a place to come together and offer the offerings and sing praises to God. I want to encourage you to seek the Lord. And when you think it's time to go to church, it's time to go to Bible study, it's time to go to worship. It's time to come and seek the Lord. Can you imagine that great day? When I finished reading the Bible here a few weeks ago, I'm always amazed when John says, and he looks under the altar and he says to the angel, "Who are they?" And he says, "These are they that came out of great tribulation, that have the mark of God on them." They got saved. And I always concentrate on anybody that's a believer in Revelation that's standing in the presence of God and what they're doing. They're singing. They're singing redemption song. And you know how I always picture them? I always picture them holding hands. I don't know why. I always picture them holding hands like some form of unity, saying, "Lord, we present ourselves to you. And we just want to sing. And we want to be in your presence." And that final revelation of Jesus Christ in Revelation is not so that we can figure out, oh, this is when the Antichrist is going to come, and this is how it's all going to happen, and this is figuring out the chronology. No, it's a revelation of Jesus. And I don't have to wait to heaven to get there. I don't have to wait till I get to heaven to seek Him, to praise Him, to thank Him, and to worship Him. I can do that right here where I'm at, and that psalm is proof of it. When we come together, this is practice, folks. This is a time not for us to inspect one another. It's time for us to be inspired by one another and to say, "Lord, we're here. And we're here together. It doesn't matter whether I'm red, yellow, black, and white. It doesn't matter what I'm wearing. It doesn't matter where I came from. What matters is that we're here. And we want God to be here." Somebody say amen. Amen. That's what we want to do in 2019, is seek the Lord together and to keep each other seeking the Lord together. Does everybody know what I'm talking about? To make sure that we're here, and to make sure that we're here with the right heart. I'm not here to inspect you. You're not here to inspect me. We're not here to inspect each other. We're here to worship God. Amen. We're here to let bygones be bygones. Look, if everybody sings on a New Year's Eve, "Old Lang Syne," and "Let bygones be bygones," and "Let old acquaintance be forgotten," and all that kind of stuff, why can't we let the week be forgot? Why can't we let offenses be forgot? Somebody say amen. Why can't we just come together and worship the Lord in liberty? Because where the Spirit of God is, there is liberty. I'm talking about a different year altogether. I'm talking about seeking the Lord like you've never sought the Lord. John Wesley preached his last sermon February 17th, 1791 in Lambeth, England. His text was from Isaiah 55:6. "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. His last sermon, the following day, as a very sick man, Mr. Wesley was put into a bed in his home on City Road. During the days of his illness following, he often repeated the words from one of his brother's hymns, "I, the chief of sinners, am, but Jesus died for me." His last words were these, and I quote, "The best of all is, listen, God is with us." He died March 2nd, 1791. Of all the sermons that a man of God, such as John Wesley, would preach, that he would preach on that text, seek the Lord while he may be found, call you upon him while he's near, and the next day never be able to get out of bed and then die, amazes me. I don't know. This may be my last sermon for all I know. I don't know that. You don't know that. It could be your last sermon. It could be your last day on this earth. Is everybody awake? That's the reality. John Wesley, who was greatly used of God, he had no idea February 17th was going to be his last day that he would be in the pulpit, and several days later he'd go home to be with heaven. Neither do you and I. We don't have that assurance. We don't have any guarantees, folks. So while we are alive, shouldn't we seek the Lord? Can I challenge you today to make this altar a place that you're just going to say, God, if I don't do anything else, if I don't clean out my underwear drawer in 2019, if I don't actually get to those weeds, if I don't actually paint that barn, if I don't actually do anything else, Lord, what I'm going to do this year, by the grace of God and by your strength, I will seek you. Amen. I will seek you gladly. I will seek you dependently. I will seek you hopefully, and I will seek you continually. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for allowing me to be here today. Thanks for bringing me home. And I thank you for this text. I thank you for David's heart. I thank you for your heart. God, throughout Scripture, it's very apparent that what you want, what pleases you, is when we seek your face. And Lord, we want to do that this year. If we're not granted this year, God, with these breaths here this morning, we want to seek you. And we want to do it gladly. God, a Christian can't gladly seek you with sin in their life. So today I pray that you would forgive us and have mercy and help us, Lord, as we confess those sins to you, so that we could gladly come before the throne of God and boldly. God, I pray that our hearts today would be so dependent. Lord, I know just a few of the trials that are going on in this room, but I don't know all of them. Those that are burdened and heavy, Lord, I have no doubt that many of them are clinging to the hem of your garment, holding and grasping to the horns of your altar, begging for help. God, I would that heart would be in every one of us. That's how real the need is. I can only imagine, Lord, all of what would be accomplished in a church, in a city, were there a handful of people who hated sin, loved God, and sought him continually. I pray that you'd help us. Even, Lord, in our fickleness, in our infidelity, in our lack of faith, in our fear, help us to seek you. Remind us of how important you are. God, help us not to seek the things that self-help, but rather the things that please God, I pray in Jesus' name. With heads bowed and eyes closed, would you stand together with me? I'm going to have Miss Ashley play Hymn of Invitation. Could I just invite you to begin this Fresh Start Sunday in 2019? Maybe you come to this altar and say, God, I'm just presenting myself to you here this morning in prayer, and I want to seek you. I want to seek you not just today, but God helping me, I want to seek you every day. I want to make this a year where I forget those things which are behind, and I want to reach out and for you, and I want to press toward that mark each and every day, God helping me. If that's your heart this morning, why don't you come? If God's touched your heart, some have already decided to come, and make this a time of renewal. Make this a time of just saying, Lord, I want to push the reset button again. That's what's so wonderful about God, is that he gives us new starts every morning. Then he gives us a new week. Then he gives us a new month. And then by the grace of God, he gives us a new year. God helping us. Let's seek the Lord this year as a church. Would you come this morning? Would you let the Lord just have your life again this morning? Would you purpose in your heart to seek the Lord and to please him? Would you do that? I'm going to have Brother Matt begin to sing a hymn of invitation as he does. Let's take this time this morning just to rededicate this fresh year to him.